Morning. Let's turn our Bible to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. Zechariah 4, 8 through 10. Also, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth." Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for the encouragement, God, that that you see even the small things, the small beginnings, God. I pray that we will be encouraged by your word. I humble myself before you. I pray that you will use me to speak your word to your church this morning and help us to just connect with you and pray to you, God, to hear from you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let me just read that passage in the NIV. I think it's a little easier to understand. "Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone or the chosen plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." Okay. Let me just explain a little bit the context of Zechariah. Zechariah, he was a prophet, and his ministry came at the time the exiles have returned to Judah, right? You guys know that Judah gets exiled because of their sin, because of their disobedience. They are overtaken by Babylon, and they get sent into exile. And many years later, after Babylonian falls to the power of Persia, then the Persian king lets the exiled Judeans, basically, to return to Judah to rebuild their temple. And it's after that has happened, and they have returned to this land to rebuild the temple, but the work, it was getting neglected. People were discouraged, and they were distracted, and they were neglecting the work of building the temple. So there is a few prophets that God sends to kind of speak to them in this time. One of them is Haggai, who also rebukes and also encourages them to continue the work. Don't give up on the temple, because this is something that God has called you to do. And Zechariah is another prophet that God sends to encourage them to say, come on, keep doing the work that God has called you to do. And that's the verse, that's the passage that we see here. So evidently, some people thought that the work of building the temple, laying the foundation, was very insignificant, right? Maybe they were discouraged. They just they didn't have the ability to really hope and to envision what God is doing or what God was doing. So they just considered it to be an insignificant thing. Part of it was, I think, that the people of Judah themselves, they looked at the work and they were like, oh, this, you know, maybe they compared it to the temple from before. It says in Ezra that when the temple was finally restored, the people of old, when they saw the new temple, they were sad because they compared it to the former temple, and they were like, man, this is nothing like it. So maybe they thought, oh, this is nothing. This is not going to be very good, and they considered it to be something small. We know from these stories that people outside of Judah, They didn't want Judah to actually rebuild their city, rebuild their temple. They would mock them and they would say, what do you think you're doing? Do you think your work will amount to anything? So people on the outside as well as on the inside looked at what they were doing and they said, that's insignificant, it's nothing, it's very small. And the Lord says here in this passage, do not despise the day of small things. Some versions will say, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And so I believe this is the word for us this morning, you know. What is it that God has called you to do, right? In the context of kind of what we're talking about as a church, what is it that God has called you to build, right? Which section of the wall that has God called you to build? You know, which person in the church has God called you to reach out to and build up? And, you know, what kind of work has God invited you to do? What kind of vision, right, has God given you for what it can be like? Right? That's where it all starts from. We have a vision for a future, right? A God-given vision of the future that God is doing. And so you have that vision first, and then you have to start thinking, okay, what small steps can I take to get there? I've been reading a book for my seminary class, and it's called Reconciling All Things. And man, this seminary class is a real burden to me, but, you know, I'm almost done. Please pray for me. I'll be finished in June if I you know, pass my classes. I have this one left, and then I have one more. So I'm almost halfway done with this one, and then I have one more. So please pray for me. But this class is about it's about contextualizing the gospel to the community that we're a part of. And it has a real concentration on the church needs to be engaged and involved with the community that we're a part of. Okay? And this book that we're reading is called Reconciling All Things, and how the church has been called for the work of the ministry of reconciliation, right? That when we see brokenness in the world, especially in the area of, I guess, relationships, not like personal relationships necessarily, but, you know, this. So this book begins with a lot of just kind of naming all the broken relationships in this world. Part, you know, some examples they give is the racial tension, especially in the United States, and how difficult it can be. Give some stories of that. And another example is in Rwanda, right? The genocide, the Hutu and the Tutsi and the war and all that stuff that's happening there. And a few other examples. But what the book is saying is we as Christians, we're called for this work, the ministry of reconciliation, because we have a hope that comes from a different place, right? We're not just like the world, just kind of looking at it from a worldly, just kind of physical perspective, but we have, you know, the message of the hope of the gospel. You know, it says the overarching message of Scripture is hope, right? Scripture is very realistic about the brokenness of the world and the sin and, you know, the depravity of man, but it also is filled with hope because God is doing something. And so in talking about hope, this is a quote that I just wanted to read to you. In talking about hope, he says this, hope embraces the significance of the small, right? And it says over and over, Scripture points us to hope that is below the radar. In stories about yeast and mustard seeds, a few fish and five loaves, foot washing and the welcoming of strangers. Bread and wine are very ordinary, but in Holy Communion, God offers them to us as the body and blood of Christ. Water, too, is very ordinary, yet in baptism, it becomes something powerful, right? It helps us realize we're children of God. Scripture slows us down to notice and celebrate God's power to nourish the world through the small, the weak, and the ordinary. And I think it's true. The scripture we read today, don't despise the day of small beginnings, especially if this is something that God has called you to do. If the vision is something that God has given you and you're taking small steps in that right direction, I think that's significant. There is significance in that. It tells us a story. I don't know if you've heard of this community called the L'Arche community. It started out in France, and it's a community where people with developmental disabilities or mental disabilities, they come together and they live together, right? And they take care of one another. And Henri Nouwen is well known for having gone there. He gave up his academic career and he went and lived in a L'Arche community. It's L'ARCH. It means ark in English, but I think it's French. L'Arche community. So now it's all over the world, but when it began with this one man, I think in the 60s. His name was Jean Vanier. He's French-Canadian. Vanier, right? And he was an academic, and he had just gone to this one city in France. And even though he was an academic and he was young and he had a bright future ahead of him, he felt lonely and he wasn't sure if anyone could love him for just who he was. And he had all these insecurities. And at the same time, when he got off the boat and entered into this town, in that time in France, the way they dealt with people with disabilities, especially mental or developmental disabilities, they would put them in these dungeon-like places just to get them out of sight so that people didn't have to see them or deal with them. So there was no help given to them. They were just thrown into these places, these institutions, where they would receive no help and they would have very little interaction with people, and just nothing was being done for them to actually take care of them. They were just trying to get rid of them and out of sight, out of mind, basically. And so Jean Vanier, I guess, finds out about these people, and he realizes, man, this is not right, but he's not sure what he can do, so he ends up talking to a priest in France, and the priest suggests to him, why don't you invite, I guess he knew these two people that had gone into these institutions, he says, why don't you invite these two people to come and live with you? And from that just invitation for them to come and live with him, this whole ministry called L'Arche Community began, and now it's all over the world, and it's a place where the people with mental disabilities, they can live together and they can celebrate one another, forgive one another, and love one another, and, you know, have a relationship. And it really transformed the way people were dealing with these, or people were ministering to or reaching out to these people with disabilities. But it began with this very small thing, you know. It began with very small, this invitation for them to come and live with him. And he probably didn't think much of it at the time, but it was a very significant beginning to something. Sometimes we have these grand visions. You know, we have this grand vision of what God wants to do, which is really good, especially if it's from the Lord. It's great that you have this awesome vision for something big and powerful and grand. But one, we get too intimidated by the vision and we can't do anything. Or second, we're too fixated on doing something grand that we don't see the small steps that will take us to get there. So if your vision is something really grand, I just ran into a youth group student who hasn't been coming to church for a long time. And I can just imagine, if I put myself in his shoes, I can imagine myself thinking, man, like, it's so hard to go back to church and to really be plugged in again and to be part of all these things going on. And I can see how that might discourage this person from actually even coming back to church, because their vision for them coming back to church is too grand. They're like, oh no, I can't see myself plugging in and doing all the activities. I'm not going to do it, you know? And so if you're in that shoes, I have an encouragement. In college, we had a saying. You know, when you have in college, actually, even now when I'm at school, I have to write papers and I have to do all these things. And usually what keeps me from actually getting started is because I'm too perfectionistic. I feel like, man, I want my paper to be so great. I want it to be the best paper I've written and just on point and blah, 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 blah. And because I try to make it so good, I'm just like, oh, I can't do it. And I just get so stressed out, so bogged down. And so in college, we had a saying. We said, mediocrity gets the job done, right? So we said, if you have a vision for just doing something mediocre, then you'll actually start doing it. Because if you're perfectionistic, you actually get too much pressure to get started. And I think there's wisdom there, you know? Just to get started, to get going, you can't be too perfectionistic. You can't have this too grand of a vision. But if you're on the other shoes and you just think too grand, and you consider yourself too grand to even see the small steps, then I encourage you with the story of Naaman. You guys know the story of Naaman. He had leprosy. And he had a Jewish servant girl who suggested, hey, why don't you go see this guy? This is a man of God, Elijah, and he can do something. Naaman goes to Elijah, and Elijah doesn't even see him. Elijah sends a servant to say to Naaman, hey, Naaman, you should go to the river, I think it's the River Jordan, right, and wash 7 times. And Naaman gets all upset. He says, man, I thought this prophet would come to me and do something and just, you know, I don't know, do something grand to make sure that I'm healed. But he's telling me to just go and wash. And the River Jordan's nasty. We have better rivers where I'm from. And the servant girl says this in 2 Kings 5:13. The Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Right? And if he had told you to do something great, you would have done it. Because you think too highly of yourself. But can't you just do this simple thing? Where it says, just wash and be cleansed. So whatever our vision is, you know, like we do homie outreach. And we have grand visions sometimes. When we talk about homie outreach, we're like, oh, we're going to, you know, whatever. Like, fix the problem of bad housing and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you get caught up in the grand vision and we don't do anything. But how much can we do, you know, just by actually going out there? You know, like people, you know, I don't know. People talk about, oh, we want to eradicate poverty or do this or do that. And yet they're just talking. They don't do anything. They have this grand idea about, I want to do some fantastic thing. Well, let's get started with something small, you know. You got to talk to Janella about all the testimonies she has of ministering to people. You know, it's one person that they're affecting, but for that one person, what's happening is grand, you know. It's awesome. And so, yeah, we just got to get started. We just got to take steps in the right direction, you know, even a small step in the right direction. So that's kind of what I want to leave you with, that you would just pray and ask God, like, God, what is it that you have called me to do? Or what is it that you're challenging me to do? Whether it's your personal life, like he wants you to have more intimacy with God. Well, the intimacy with God might be something grand, but it's going to take with small steps of reading your Bible and praying. You know, he wants you to reconcile your relationship with your parents. It's going to take small things of maybe giving them a call, shooting them an email, right? So whatever the vision that God has given you for what he wants to do this year, I encourage you to not despise the small beginnings. And I'm going to invite Andrew up to lead us in a song of worship. Let me just pray for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for your word, and I thank you for the encouragement and the conviction, God, just to get started. even with a small step, God, small step after small step after small step, we will accomplish something. We'll accomplish the things that you've called us to do. And I just pray, God, that we will not despise, God, the day of small things, the day of small beginnings. And I pray for each of us, God, that we would have a vision, God, for what it is that you're calling us to do. That starts there, God. We need to have a vision for this year, for just an idea of God, what are you calling us to do? And maybe some of us are discouraged, God. Maybe we feel like we're doing small things and nothing's happening. And I just pray, God, that you would speak your encouragement to us, God, to say that in Zechariah, it says, the Lord sees, the seven eyes of the Lord will see and rejoice when he sees the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. God, you will see and you rejoice, God, when you see the day of the small beginnings, the small steps that we take. Thank you for that, God. So come, Holy Spirit, speak to us, and we'll just give this time to you. Thank you, God. In that scripture that we read, just a few passages above it is the famous passage where God says, it is not by might or not, you know, not by might, not by strength, but by the Spirit of God. And just encouraging Zerubbabel again, that it's not going to be by your strength, by your might, but it's something that the Spirit of God is going to do. And I think that's a big reason why we can say we don't despise small beginnings, small things, even though it seems insignificant, if God is behind it, if the Spirit is behind it. So even more so, it's important that we, the thing that we're going after is a God thing, not just something that we want, you know. It's not just a motivational speech, like, whatever you want to accomplish, do something, start with something small. But really, it has to be, what is it that God is doing? What is it that God is speaking to you about? And if the Spirit is behind it, then even a small thing can become a very significant thing. So Holy Spirit, we just give you our lives, God. Sorry for being so self-centered and so self-seeking. And God, I once again, we surrender our lives to you. And whatever you want to do through our lives, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would just download that from you and have a vision for what you're calling us to do. And I pray that we would be able to get started on it, God. Starting today, God, making a small step in the right direction, Father. Help us, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends and family members that are struggling with cancer or going through chemo or radiation therapy. Let's really pray for healing. Let's stand in the gap for them. Let's stand with them in prayer, and let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are sick physically, but also need spiritual healing and salvation. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and their family members are going through. Let's pray for God's healing power to be released. Let's pray with faith. Let's pray with faith that God, He can do it. By His stripes we are healed. So let's pray with faith that God's healing will come. Thank you. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's breakthrough. Let's pray for God's encouragement and guidance and direction and favor. So let's pray for our friends. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Pray for the government. Let's just pray for reconciliation in Hong Kong. Let's pray for especially, you know, what's been happening in Mong Kok. And just, there's a lot of angst, you know, anger and tension. And who knows what the right answer is. But let's pray for the situation, you know. Let's pray for the, especially the locals who feel hopeless, maybe, or fearful. I don't really know what we can pray for, but let's just pray for God's peace. Let's pray for the Spirit of God here, and let's pray that the people will not be so fearful or angry. Let's pray for the government to also be just and just pray for God's help upon them, that they can make decisions that are just and fair. And let's pray for the churches to be actively engaged with our city and to be part of bringing hope and reconciliation and love to the city. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the Spirit of God to move here. And there's a bunch of different ministries that we are partnering with. Let's pray for them, that there will be anointing upon them and they'll be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the staff. Please pray for Pastor Sam as he is in the States. He's attending a conference at another church in the States to learn about this specific workshop. It's like a marriage workshop kind of thing that we're going to try and maybe bring to our church, especially as we focus on building up the family. So let's just pray for God to really download to him and Lisa and to Max and to Belinda, that they would really, God, that God would really show them how they can bring this to our church. And let's pray for the rest of the staff, for us to be united and strengthened and encouraged and focused and working hard and always hearing from the Holy Spirit. And let's pray for protection as well, especially for the families. Let's pray for the staff. Thank you. Let's pray for the worship sound and AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship. Let's pray that the private worship will be what fuels the public worship on Sunday. Pray for a heart of excellence, attention to detail, and just for anointing upon the team. Let's pray together. Pray for the hospitality ministries, welcoming team, and the barista. Let's pray for P. Ricky and for Ashley as they lead the ministries. And let's pray for the team members to be so filled with love and joy with the Holy Spirit so that they would really create an atmosphere that is so loving and welcoming to our church. Let's pray for this ministry. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Let's just pray for God's presence. Pray for the leaders. Let's pray that they'll have an awesome time. Just loving one another. So let's pray for house churches today. Thank you, Father God. We we just thank you that you are so powerful and you are real, God. And we just lift up our lives before you and all situation, whatever situation we're in, we come before you. We ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy, your kindness, God, and just your breakthrough and your Holy Spirit to come and fill us up, God. This day, we give this day to you, God. Pray that throughout the day we'll be able to pray to you and think of you and remember you. And thank you for always being with us. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.